Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Before National Poetry Month gets away from us, we want to talk about poetry and its power. How that power presents may surprise you, and it may surprise you that young people seem to be taking to it in a big and profound way. Joining me in studio to discuss it are Aaron Williams, founder and president of the 7th Grade Poetry Foundation. It uses writing as a tool to transform kids. M.K. Stallings is the founder of Herb Arts, an organization that encourages youngsters to express themselves through the arts. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Nice to be with you, Don.
I'd like to start with a very brief description of your organization. M.K., I'll start with you.
Sure.
About Herb Arts, what it is so people understand where we're coming from.
Sure. Herb Arts, our mission is to create platforms and to platform creatives for youth and community development. So that means that we're interested in creating or fostering an ecosystem of artists, both practitioners of the arts who are getting paid doing their thing, with young people who aspire to be artists, perhaps professional artists. And so by linking them, one being a mentor, the other being a student who wants to learn and absorb, then we create a space where they learn from each other. Young people can be encouraged and can see somebody who models what they want to do.
Poetry being one component of the
arts. Absolutely, because we're multidisciplinary in terms of our efforts. But I'm a poet, so that's one of the things that I'm really focused on is developing our Youth Poetry Slam program, because Poetry Slam provides a project for poets to focus on and hopefully hone their skills as they think about audiences and write to hopefully move those audiences in profound ways.
We'll get to the slam in just a moment. Sure. The age range of your students, are there people who are involved?
Absolutely. So for Verbquake students, anywhere from about 13 to 19. More generally, we've worked with young people as young as 5. And then, of course, we work with young adults. So,
okay, but pretty broad range.
Pretty broad. Again, we're interested in the ecosystem of artists out there.
Got it. Okay. Aaron, let me turn to you. Same thing. Give me a thumbnail, if you will, of your organization.
The 7th Grade Poetry Foundation is in its 7th year, 6th year, as a 501c3 charitable organization. We fully donate comprehensive poetry writing contests to schools, as well as the lessons plans that help them achieve state standards, and contest materials and the incentives to have a contest. And we basically transform young lives, improve classrooms, and unite communities through student poetry writing.
Limited to the 7th grade demographic.
To the 7th grade, because that's the target year for most schools as to when poetry is really being drilled into.
Your competition is not associated with what MK was talking about, the slam and Verbquake of that.
We're written word driven. And the schools run their own contests. The contests end at the school, with the schools picking the winner based strictly on what is written, not personality, not performance. And so we have a result where 80% of the teachers have told us that the student they selected was not who they expected when they started the contest, that the poem wins first, then they find out who the poet was.
And you find out an awful lot about your students, don't you, through their poetry, and they're expressing themselves that way.
Absolutely, especially when you're letting them write whatever they want and however they'd like to write it.
MK, what kind of response? Let's focus on the poetry aspect of this,
sure,
for this program. What kind of response are you getting from young men and young women to poetry itself?
The thing is that they're writing already. And so they're writing, either pre-writing in their minds, they're thinking about what they want to say. They have these ideas. And sometimes they put pen to paper, or they'll begin typing it on their phones, on their cell phones, and things of that nature. So they're already writing. What we do is get them in community. We say, hey, we're also listening. Here's a platform for you. And if you want to enhance your writing, if you want to write more powerfully, to reach people so that your work resonates, that's when we will pair them with a teaching artist or somebody like that. So the young people, their response to poetry is that they open themselves up to be coached and to be in a workshop with others.
You've got them from the get-go, because that's where they want to go.
They self-selected into the program. We just needed to create a program that they could self-select into, and that's what Verbquake represents.
Aaron, a little different with you, because you don't have them necessarily from the start, do you?
We go to these school teachers who are teaching 7th grade English right from the beginning. We let them know everything's free, and we let them know they can run the contest basically any way they want, as long as they let every student have a chance to be in the contest. Let them them write whatever they want and pick the winner strictly based on what's written without any other criteria. So this sets up the surprises, but it's also helping the teacher get kids to get to buy into a form of writing that many of them at the seventh grade level have not had any experience with. And even the teachers, this is actually pretty astounding that we've been learning this, is there's an awful lot of teachers who don't like poetry but have to teach it. And we're also finding because of this contest, it's getting them to get excited about it. We're giving them a surprise they didn't know about.
I have to assume there are a lot of young people who don't like poetry either, particularly young men perhaps. They think it's, you know, kind of what have you. It's not masculine enough.
Well, I think MK and I can both speak to that.
Good.
I'll let you know our experience was the first time we ran the contest, in a co-ed school, we always ask all the schools, how did you run it? And the teacher said that they would, they gave our materials out to the girls' English teacher, and that's who selected the winner. And I said, what about the boys' English teacher? And the teacher said, well, boys don't write poetry. Why should I waste the teacher's time? Mm-hmm. That was when we had 20% of all the students in all the winners in the city of St. Louis being male. It's now 5 years later, and we were up to 46% really? Now. Being male, and the majority of the poets laureate in the country are actually men, just like cooks.
Right.
Similar.
Okay,
outcome.
MK.
And think about that point. So if you have a lot of adult poets who are men, they have to start at some point. The question is, why aren't we uncovering them at a younger age? I assume that they're still writing. They still are creative. They still want to do things. But perhaps, as you suggest, there is something about this notion of masculinity and how we think about poetry. So we kind of have to expand what we how we think about poetry. Like, for example, I come out of hip hop. So honestly, poetry or rap is as poetic or has all the poetics that we might find in a poem, in a written form, whether it's metaphor, whether it's simile, anything like that. While it can be an aggressive form of work, while it can speak powerfully to some everyday truths, it's still primarily a written form that just has to be performed. So therefore, these young people who might be male, who might be discouraged because of these notions of masculinity, well, that has a lot more to do with society's ideas of masculinity and what boys should associate with than with poetry itself.
There's a lot of people who would suggest that hip-hop is the product of today's poets.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, oftentimes a hip-hop artist would pay homage to the last poets. The last poets would pay homage to Amiri Baraka. Amiri Baraka would pay homage to Langston Hughes. So it goes on and on. I mean, this is a long tradition of poets who are a part of the oral tradition. And so we participate in that by helping poets find their voices today.
Do you find it the same way? Yeah,
yes. And I also find that the role models have a lot to do with it. If you only have poetry that deals with romance and is only 100 years old and the teachers are really having problems getting all the students to feel that it's relevant to them, that's a struggle. Our program actually is using seventh graders' poems to teach seventh grade poetry in the classroom. And so you do have boys writing about mud parks, and you have boys writing about they're being bullied too, and you have boys writing about a tribute to Kobe Bryant.
Right.
You have them writing about anything, and that's what really gets everyone to buy in, that they're all in the same classroom, they're all going through so much together, and it takes it to that next level.
Writing about anything is certainly okay because they're still writing, and oftentimes you get insight into these young minds. That brings me to themes, and I'll start with you on this one, Aaron. What about themes? What kind of themes are you finding that come back again and again with seventh graders?
And it's a great question that you asked, because we've actually studied the demographics of the poems. We're now up to 550 published poets that we have. And one is, what do you write about is actually a theme. Imagination is a theme. Bullying is absolutely a theme at the seventh grade level. At a criminal level, whether you're being bullied, whether you are the bully, whether you're bystander to the bully.
That's the age. Seventh grade.
Self-harm is pretty serious. But they're also writing about politics. They're writing about the world they're living in. We're seeing the themes now evolving into this year. The environment was clearly one of the things that many seventh graders were writing about. And so you're also writing about beauty. You're writing about looking in that mirror, as a girl wrote this year, who was previously an orphan and was wondering whether the whether her parent was looking in the mirror wondering what she looked like, and she's looking in the mirror wondering if her mother that she has never met wonders what it can explain her chin and her eyes.
That's very poetic in and of itself. MK, what about the themes you hear? You have an older group, a larger group, an age range. What themes?
They talk about a lot of things that adult poets might talk about. So there might be issues with being intersectional issues of being a black male who is gay and having to negotiate those kinds of spaces, being transgender and having to look at bathrooms and determine which bathroom they're going to go into, and having to negotiate with the administrators at their schools about that very same issue. They're talking about situations where, you know, someone gets shot dead in the streets, and how do we deal with that? Whether it's at the hands of a police officer, at the hands of somebody else, but they're addressing violence in these various kinds of ways. Whether it's abuse in the home, intimate partner violence, things of that nature. So they touch on anything that's powerful for them. And you know, we have to be reminded of what some feminist scholars will talk about, and that's how the personal is political. And for them, very much so, talking about their personal lives in a way that other people can join in is a political act.
Right.
And poetry, just in general, and again, back to themes, is you're really looking at the mirror. You're really looking at their life being that they are living a life as looking into a mirror every day, whether it's what they're looking at inside or whether they're looking at outside. By picking that pen up, it allows them to really communicate to us.
Well, let's get an example of the kinds of things we're talking about. MK, I'll start with you. You can set this up as Ariel Jones has written something you can tell us about.
Yeah, so Ariel Jones was our last year Verbquake Individual Slam champion. She came back after having a great experience at Brave New Voices, and that's where we send our young people to every summer. And so she came back with this poem where she's playing a character. And she's talking about a relationship and patriarchy, but it sounds like love. But is it really love when you have someone who wants to dominate you and determine your movements and who you are? So Ariel speaks to that through this piece.
Her name is poetic in and of itself.
It absolutely is. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Look at me. I ain't never seen forever. Don't know what love is. I just know words. Like the ones we say to each other. I just know words carved into wood that I am made from. I am made from strong wood. I not be glass. Don't matter know how everybody know you can't fix glass. I not be fragile. Daddy ain't no glass maker. How you see through me? See, I need fixing. Give me my fix then. Hard nail ain't no solution, Mr. Fix-It Man. Fix me plate. Dish season with your authority. Sit. Talk. Tell me love is big house, built from hard nail, with glass windows you can see through. But glass shatter, shatter when you see truth, shatter when you see I don't know what love is. I know play and game be house, but I am made from strong wood that build house. Hard nail just put together what Fix-It Man already tore apart, but I not be broken. Hard nail plus strong wood means splinter. Mean man cry, mean I win. Ain't got to know what love is. Just got to know how to play game.
She's got some power in that presentation, doesn't she?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, and when she performed it this past weekend, we were floored. Everybody loved it. And they just... It was one of the shining moments of that competition.
It shows her maturity, too. She's 19 years
old. She's 19. Yeah. But then again, even as a 17, 18-year-old student, she was able to express some pretty adult themes in ways that were poetic and beautiful and artful. And so that's her, you know. Mm-hmm. She's only had more experiences, and she's used inspiration to help drive these new themes and these new ideas and make them happen.
Aaron, how about your presentation with young Rose?
Well, Rose, as I mentioned, the mirror, wrote about a word that comes up almost every year, perfect.
Right. Let's have a listen to Rose's presentation.
Perfect is a word that cannot describe me, because I, like everyone else, have flaws you can or cannot see. I may not be the prettiest or the smartest in the grade, but I am who I am because this is how I was made. We think perfect is a word that means beautiful, smart, and kind. But to me, flawless isn't the word that comes to mind. Perfect means to embrace your flaws and be proud. I, for one, can be a bit annoying and loud. I don't have the best clothes or the prettiest hair, and if I'm being honest, sometimes I do care. But instead of complaining, I stick a smile on my face, because those flaws are what have made me different in the first place. Maybe if we all could just be ourselves, we could see how great it can feel to show people who we really are instead of hiding ourselves to be concealed.
That's Rose, and she sounds like a seventh grader and doing something that a lot of seventh graders do.
Yes, looking in the mirror.
Looking in
and,
the mirror.
And dealing with the peer pressure of bullying and image and self-identity. These are very serious issues to the point of really being lethal, as we found out.
You talk about the poems being transformative. Give me an example, if you can, Aaron, about how you've seen transformation.
We've had a student wrote a letter to a teacher last year who stated that her enthusiasm to get him interested in starting to write poetry changed his perception that the only thing that he thought anyone would ever read from him was his suicide note. Mm-hmm. We've had students who have overcome stutters in order to be able to present their poems publicly and gone on to become the valedictorian of their class and wrote the speech as a poem. We've had students who, in private schools, the first thing they ever won was our contest, and now that's what's on their application when they're applying to additional schools.
MK, what sort of transformation have you witnessed?
It's similar. You have individuals such as Charles McGill. He was a student at Jennings High School last year. He was very much so a shy guy, didn't want to perform. But then he got involved with Verb Quake, had a teaching artist such as Sir Irvin Williams, who was able to kind of bring him out. And then all of a sudden he began performing in front of these audiences. And then he went to Brave New Voices and gained even more confidence. And then he went on to enroll at Harris Stowe State University and do some wonderful things there. And that sort of leadership comes out of these opportunities to fully self-actualize. And so while poetry is a way of doing that, the most important thing is to give them the space to express themselves. And if you can do that, then I think they can be transformed.
Our time is starting to get away, but you've mentioned some things that we need to explain very quick to people. We've talked about the slam. We've talked about Brave New Voices, and we've talked about Verb Quake. Mm-hmm. What are they?
So Verb Quake is a youth poetry slam that we do here in the region, St. Louis, in St. Louis, Missouri. We have young people from high schools throughout the region. We normally work with high schools. It's a free program. We've been able to get some funding from like the Missouri Arts Council, and that's great to be able to do the kind of work that we do. But ultimately, it's funded by the community. People make donations because we're a 501c3, and we use that opportunity, use those dollars to help these young people. So Brave New Voices is an international poetry slam and festival, and we prepare a team to go to Brave New Voices every year.
And there's going to be a competition in Washington, D.C.?
There's going to be a competition in Washington, D.C., and the young people such as Ariel, Biddy from Grand Center Arts Academy, Majova from Grand Center Arts Academy, Ali from Kirkwood High School, and Anna from Kirkwood High School will all be going to Brave New Voices in Washington, D.C. because of the support of the community.
All right. In the minute we have left, Aaron, how do people get involved with your program, or if parents want to be sure their kids get involved?
Sure. 7gp.org with the number 7 is our website. Again, 7gp.org. We've been able to get 20% of all the schools in the region for each of the past 4 years, but we're not getting 80%. Huh. And so it's really writing to the superintendent. It's writing to the principal. It's writing to the English teacher and letting them know student poetry matters. It matters that a student gets a sense of winning with a pen in their hand.
We'll put a link to your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org. MK, in 30 seconds, how do people get involved with you?
Go to herbarts.org. You can find us on Instagram as herbarts_STL. You can find us on Twitter at herbarts. So you can find us throughout the social media landscape. We do a ton of programs every day in our gallery in Old North St. Louis.
All right. We'll have a link to your site as well. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
MK Stallings, thank you for being with us. And Aaron Williams, thank you. Good luck with the program. Sounds terrific.
Thank you, Don.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.